This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Here we go. Hour 4, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day here on your home of the Rangers as we're 9 days from opening day. Jared Sandler joining us here in about 30 minutes. We'll talk some baseball with him there. Right now it's time for an edition of Football's Finest. Here's the Chief.
682 says the Cowboys did not swing and miss on Cooper Kupp. He chose Sam Darnold over Dak. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah. He told you, didn't he?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm going to tell him in a second. First, I have to address something. I made a comment earlier in the program.
Oh, no. Oh,
no.
Really? Don't do this.
This is where you
got
to be the bigger man?
Don't do this. Don't be the bigger man.
And I'm here to stand on it.
Oh!
That's right. We've done the homework.
Oh.
Flippantly, I said, you take Jenty at 12, now you're paying him like he's one of the best running backs in the league, right? You're trying to find premium talents on the cheap for the first 4 or 5 years of their deal. People are texting in. How is that even possible? Jenty being, with the way the running back market has swung in favor of running backs, how would Jenty at 12 be one of the highest paid running backs in the league?
Tell him, Chief.
They do have a point when it comes to the yearly average. Because you take him at 12, you're probably paying him, you're guaranteeing him $20 million is what you're doing.
What is that slot? What did the slot last year pay?
Last year it was like $19 million, so I'm guessing it'll go up a tick. We'll just call it $20
million. So his... That contract will probably be guaranteed, right?
That's the point. It's 100% guaranteed. Yeah. So the average per year wouldn't be up there. It would be like 15th most in the league, not in the top five or anything. But when you talk about guaranteed, total guaranteed dollars, it would be $20 million guaranteed.
4 years.
And that would put him only behind Barkley, McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor, and Alvin Kamara in terms of guys with guaranteed money. And then he'd be right there with Bijan Robinson, who got selected in the top 10 a few years ago. Yeah. In terms of total guaranteed money, you take Jenty at 12, you've guaranteed him the fifth most at the position in the NFL. So that was just the – wanted to have a clarification on that because we did get a handful of texts about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guaranteed money and then the fifth-year option too.
And then the fifth-year option would be probably, I would guess, like $15 to $20 million for that 1 year.
Yeah.
So that's what you're getting into.
I say yeah, but it's going to be more than what he was making the first 4 years.
I mean, so that's $5 million a year for what could be an amazing running back. That's a hell of a bargain, Chief.
Yeah, on the average per year basis, it equals out. It makes sense. But you are going to be guaranteeing him $20 million. And you can get running backs right now for much less by way of guarantees. Guaranteed money is what you're talking about when you're talking about contracts and what really matters in the deal. You're talking about how much money am I guaranteeing this guy?
Yeah.
So you could guarantee $20 million over the next 4 years to a pass rusher, a receiver.
Please don't bust on
a corner.
That guy.
Yeah, don't bust on that guy. And the good news, Bruss, we're not going to bust on that guy because you just gave us five unbustables.
I don't think they like
at pick 12.
I don't think they like any of my guys.
Okay, that's fine. But if we're doing the drafting, we have guys at more premium positions that Broadus is signing off on not going to bust.
I don't think they're going to get wiped out though. I don't. Think
no, they're just not going to pick that guy.
Yeah, they're gonna pick the guy they want. Of course they'll do that, but I don't think they necessarily like all my guys.
So I kind of win, but I kind of lose. But that's just the facts.
Yeah, I mean, you could see it both ways, but I do think like how much you're getting guaranteed is more of a thing like when you're going for your veteran contract, you know, because you're at an age where we're not quite sure how this is going to go. I think guarantee at 22 or 23 years old. I just think it's more in the team's favor. And I think when you say like how much is a guy making, it does more refer to average per year.
Okay, anything else on this topic? Are we good?
We're good. Good.
All right, don't get it twisted on Cooper Kupp. We have the report from Adam Schefter here as of about 15, 20 minutes ago. He says last Thursday, the Cowboys, because remember, Schefter came out like early in the morning and was like, hey, the Cowboys are going to be players for Cooper Kupp all of a sudden. And then
didn't we say like Wednesday? I mean, I talked to some people over there and they said that they weren't interested. Did we talked about
this. We talked about this.
Yeah, I thought we did.
Yes, you were on it. Yeah. Jane, a couple other insiders were on the idea that the Cowboys are not interested in Cooper Kupp. No. And then all of a sudden we wake up the next morning and at like 6 a.m., Schefter's reporting that actually the Cowboys seem to be interested in him.
It was a strange news cycle morning.
And then it was like 3 hours later, he was like, actually, never mind. So what happened? He says last Thursday, the Cowboys reached out about Cooper Kupp and they were interested. Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, as he says, who I understand it, were on the phone with Cooper Kupp talking to him about the idea of coming to Dallas. And then the Cowboys heard the numbers and they said, thanks, but no thanks. We don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
So the Cowboys were interested, and it's a tale as old as time with the Cowboys. They're interested in all the right people, but they have a hard line in the sand of what they're willing to pay for it.
About $5 million this year.
So I don't think it's necessarily Cooper Kupp, all things were equal, and he chose Seattle.
Right.
Lamb and Prescott are on the phone with him recruiting him, and then, of course, the Cowboys weren't willing to come correct on the dollars, and I don't necessarily blame him
for
that.
Hang it up. Hang up the phone. Hang it
up. Hey, top paid quarterback, number three paid wide receiver in the league here, wondering if you'd like to play for about 20% of market value.
They go, oh, this isn't Cooper Rush? I'm sorry, Cooper Kupp. We meant to call Cooper Rush. Sorry about that. Yeah.
So that's the story behind it. I don't think he chose Sam Darnold over Dak necessarily.
Chose money.
No. Yeah, you get the best deal.
Got the best
contract.
Deal. Yeah.
Plus, he's from Washington State.
Yeah. Played on the red turf.
Makes a lot of sense for him. He's excited to be back there.
Yeah.
Well, I saw a nugget from Warren Sharp today in regards to Dak. He just put out, and Dak is, his numbers for last season are obviously going to be small sample because he didn't play the whole season. So keep that in mind. But he just put out a list of the most accurate quarterbacks on go balls. Just run down the field, I'm going to throw it up to you kind of deal. And Brock Purdy was actually number one in this. Mm. But Dak Prescott was number two. Accuracy on go balls. And
did they call any plays that required the go ball?
Yeah, I'm sure the sample size is relatively small. Yeah. He probably put the caveat at the bottom about the sample size. Minimum 25 go routes thrown.
Okay, here we go.
So Dak threw at least 25 of them. And he was the second most accurate in the league. And for me, the tie-in is just Tet McMillan as a guy who can just run down the field and you throw it to. That could make some sense.
Golden. McMillan.
Yeah,
there's,
you know,
guys in this, draft, absolutely.
In 2019, he led the league in exceeding passing expectations on deep throws. And in 2022, he earned the highest grade in the conference on throws of 20 yards or more. Like, this is sprinkled throughout his career where I feel like every 2 or 3 years. Now, there was the year where he really needed to work on the deep ball play, but I don't know if that's play calling or what he does. I just find it interesting because I wouldn't think of Dak as the guy with the accuracy or the anticipation to lead the league in those kind of, you know, big throw categories. I just wonder if it's because he's waiting to see open throw ball more than, you know, some other guys, or, you know, and maybe the sample size plays into that as well.
Yeah, and Daniel Jeremiah did have Matthew Golden, the Texas wide receiver, selected for the Cowboys at 12 in his mock draft today.
There you go.
So, Golden's one of those guys. I know he's got the speed, but in terms of just down the field, throw it to him, he can go get it.
He'll go get it. Yep, absolutely.
So, some guys like that, and you ultimately have to have playmakers for it. They didn't really use Brandon Cooks appropriately. And then, obviously, outside of CeeDee Lamb, who's basically doubled on every single play, who are you really throwing these to? If you're Dak, you're like,
some of the Kevontae Turpin, who's not great at hauling them in.
No, and Turpin really needs to be wide open to throw him the ball down the field like that. And I love Turpin. Great skill set, but he's, just because he's fast doesn't make him a good deep ball threat necessarily.
Yeah, and then that kind of plays into why is he graded so high if they're not throwing it that much down the field? You know, our defense is kind of getting conditioned to not thinking they're going deep. And then when you go deep, there's a surprise factor that would ultimately contribute in a big way to your efficiency. You know, I don't want to hate on Dak. If it's true, it's true, but, you know.
Yeah, and to be fair, this is just specifically to the accuracy of the ball. So maybe the guy wasn't open or whatever. Maybe he was wide-ass open. But the accuracy of the ball, Dak on go routes last year was second best in the league. Now, Benjamin Albright has also tweeted out today about Luther Burden, the Missouri wide receiver, and Tet McMillan, just saying that teams are not as high on either one of those wide receivers as the media seems to be.
Sure.
So I it does, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, but the idea of Tet McMillan at 12 is very much so on the table and realistic.
Yeah.
So it'll just be interesting to see how the Cowboys have those receivers stacked.
I just don't know why you would want to throw so much of your resources in free agency at defensive line and then come back and draft another one, especially with what they have in Williams and Nealon and Micah. You know, I think they're set along the defensive line. You know, I think wide receiver makes a lot of sense.
Other than one tech, right? Are you comfortable with Mazi and really nothing behind him?
I would be okay with it because I think you could get a veteran who's like 35 years old. He's just a fat son of a gun that's been doing this for a while. And, you know, plug him in there in the rotation along with Mazi.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a first-round type deal.
Yeah. In Eberflus's system, you're looking at your – I mean, from my understanding anyway, you're looking for your defensive lineman to get up the field. And I just don't know how crucial that role is, as long as you have good players there.
Yeah, and I think you can never have enough pass rushers. I know they've added to it with Fowler and stuff. Hopefully Sam Williams comes back healthy. You always have Micah, but I don't think Eberflus is a guy that's really manufacturing pressure the same way that Zimmer was.
Yeah.
So having you can really never have too much of those guys. The Eagles proved that. They got a rotation of 7-8 dudes on their defensive line. So
I mean, don't get me wrong. If there was like a Vita Vea guy, you know, I want to fill that with an absolute dominant player if it's there. But I would think other positions are ringing higher with me right now. And, you know, but if one of the most depressing things you can have is a bust first round wide receiver on your team. Just one of the most frustrating things because you have this vision of what he's going to be. So I definitely don't want to see them standing there and take a guy that doesn't have a good chance of being successful. That's the most important thing here at 12 is we talk about positional value and what would we prefer. It's a good player. I don't care what position it is as long as it's not punter.
One guy we know is a good player, Ja'Marr Chase. Just got the fatty, fatty boom-bah from the Bengals. And they had their press conference today. And one of his quotes from it was, he says, "I like Cincinnati because it gives me more opportunity to just focus and I'm not distracted." But he said, "The food is not the best. We could work on that." I mean, when your city,
he's right.
When their number one most synonymous food is
chili spaghetti,
chili dripping wet spaghetti.
Yeah, he's absolutely right.
No one, not a single Bengals fan should be pushing back on that.
No,
I feel bad for him. You know, I feel blessed to be here in the great state. We have all these great Tex-Mex. We have the steakhouses. You have the barbecue. We're in paradise.
We are. And maybe that speaks to why Chad Johnson was always just living at the McDonald's drive-thru. What else am I going to do in Cincinnati from a culinary standpoint, dude? Big Mac trumps all.
I mean, within a par five from here, we have Pecan Lodge, Hurtado, Terry Black's, Capital Grill. It's just stupid.
Not to mention all the places down in Oak Cliff and stuff. Not
Shoot over there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, crazy.
It's a plethora.
Yep.
Speaking of food and receivers, here's Bills now going into his second year, Keon Coleman, talking about the first time Josh Allen invited him over to Josh Allen's house for dinner.
So the first time he invited me to dinner at this place, I don't even know what this was, the woman cooked. It looked like we was eating onions, fish, and bread. I was like, this is like the stuff Jesus fed the people in the little children book. You know, like the little children books they give you? Like, that's what that looked like. I said, man, what is this, bro?
I believe that book he's referring to is just quite simply the Bible. I don't know if he thinks that's just a run-of-the-mill...
Children's story, The Last Supper?
Maybe like the Sunday school children's books? You know, the little animated ones?
Yeah. I mean, he's talking about fish and bread. So you're thinking about like Feeding of the 5,000, which is just tried and true biblical, you know, story.
Is that a halibut? That's how I imagine it.
Dang, that's a great question. Yeah. What type of fish was it? Mm-hmm. I have to imagine it was just some... dominant sourdough from a bread standpoint.
Yes.
But the fish, what would you want that fish to be, bro?
Tuna.
You want that? Oh, yeah.
It's tuna.
I love tuna.
Would that have been out of the Red Sea?
Proud of that.
Where are we pulling these fish out of?
Galilee!
Yeah.
I don't know where that is, bro.
Those two brothers were fishing. They were mending their nets. They threw them over the side, and after that, they quit fishing. You ever heard that story?
Might have been tilapia. Sea of Galilee, you can find a catch a lot of tilapia.
Isn't that man-made?
Here from tilapia.
The fisher of men. Become the fisher of men.
Yeah, that story. The 12 disciples.
Yeah, but the two brothers that were fishing, and Jesus says, throw it over the side over here, and they hauled all the fish in. Then they quit. I'd have kept going.
if we're going to clean up like this, bro.
Yeah, you're not going to get me off.
Let's capitalize on this opportunity.
I'll follow you later. I'll catch up. Let me keep catching fish.
One college football nugget for you. EA Sports offering athletes $1,500 to opt into next year's college football.
Is that an upgrade?
Yeah, last year it was $600.
Yeah.
So they've more than doubled the payout to the players, and then they also get royalties on top of the payout. So I'm sure that's a no-brainer for most of these guys. Being in a video game is awesome.
$1,500 to be in a video game?
Yeah.
Cha-ching. I love it. Man, it's quite an honor, too.
Exactly.
I would like a copy of the game. Can you throw that in? Appreciate you, Chief. There it is, an edition of Football's Finest every night at 5 o'clock here in the nation. Sands and 20 will hit the expressway, take you commercial-free to the top. There is significant Ranger news. We'll reset you on all that and more coming up next here on The Fan. All right, welcome back, Nation. Time to hit the expressway. Let's do this topic. Do the Cowboys have a Micah Parsons problem? That's one of the hot takes around the Cowboys today, if you're reading the newspaper. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Jared Sandler's going to join us here coming up in 12 minutes. We'll talk to him about the Rangers news items of the day. The expressway is presented by the on-time experts. Yeah, Rangers signed Patrick Corbin, lefty starter. Doesn't get hurt very often, but that's about the best thing you can say about his repertoire these days, his resume. At times he's been good, though, Brian. Hasn't he been an all-star?
Twice.
Patrick Corbin, two-time all-star earlier in his career. Mm-hmm. So they got him. We'll see what kind of role they have in mind, what this means for Leiter and Rocker and some of the other guys. And the Rangers got news on John Gray as well. I guess he doesn't need surgery on his broken forearm, broken wrist. Situation there, so that's pretty good news there for John Gray, friend of the show at this point. We've talked to him several times, and we're hoping for the best, and he makes a quick recovery. Okay, and the AP All-American teams are out. Johnny Broom of Auburn started at a mid-major. He's player of the year, whatever, fifth-year senior. And the number one pick freshman, Cooper Flagg, joined by Alabama's Mark Sears, Purdue's Braden Smith, and Walter Clayton Jr. of Florida. That's your AP All-American teams in college basketball. Tournament's underway tonight with play-in games. Okay, that's the headline from Calvin Watkins in the morning news. Brian, you familiar with this topic?
Yeah, I think that Calvin's trying to kind of put some things together, and he's probably circled back and talked to some folks about what happened with him and with Tank, and then also with Micah, and trying to kind of dig up some old things there. This is something that's kind of been ongoing. There were some people that will tell you that. Micah's work ethic is not the best, and players have problems with that. As far as whether problems like physical problems and confrontations and things like that, I didn't get that feeling, but I did get the feeling that players did question Micah's work ethic, and it bothered them that way.
Bothered them.
Yeah,
I know. It it's not good when your best player is not your hardest worker.
Yeah.
You would prefer to be that way. But reality is oftentimes they're not, because they're amazing. They're just different athletes that kind of break the mold. But in Watkins' piece, here's a quote, whether it's podcasts, problems with teammates, social media, or missing workouts, Parsons causes controversy.
Yeah.
He writes, the answer is complicated, especially depending on whom you ask, with a looming contract extension still unresolved. I think the biggest problem here in this whole situation is they don't have enough players like Micah Parsons. The problem is not Micah. He's amazing. The problem is you don't have more players that fit his description as one of the best players in the game.
Yeah, yeah. And Myles Garrett, we just heard about the stuff coming out of Cleveland, where he's a guy that's missed a bunch of stuff as well, but he's one of the DPOY candidates year in, year out. It's similar to the Lucas stuff. Yes, it's not checking every box of what you'd perfectly want, but what are they giving you on the field when the lights come on? Yeah. And by and large, Micah is a monster.
Yeah, and everything is within like a normal range with the personality stuff. Does he like the spotlight?
Good
Does
call.
He want attention? Yes. But is it in a way that's overly dysfunctional or causing problems?
Mm.
You know, the guy's been maybe not a perfect teammate, but a stand-up citizen, you know, no complaints about him. There's definitely been players in the Cowboys history, and they used to attract him like a magnet that would go out and have a big old time and be national news and embarrass the franchise and tick off Cowboys fans. That's not Micah Parsons. You know, is he the ideal leader? No. But I think that's kind of where the end of it. Tank called out his social media stuff last week. Yeah. Malik Hooker called it out last season. Remember that? I think that was the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He was on our show that day. Watkins writes that Hooker's locker room or spot in the locker room was moved to the other side of the team's locker room at the Star after being close to Parsons up until that quote was published. You know, that he said maybe, you know, you should focus on the football more. But Clarence Hill had a good point on Twitter today saying in the 90s, a lot of the players had their own radio shows. That was kind of like the podcast of the day. And there was a lot of attention paid to that.
Yeah, I think there's some etiquette with like Green Bay smacks you around in the postseason. And then you wake up like a week or two later and there's Green Bay's quarterback Jordan Love on Micah's podcast. You know, something like that is, I mean, there's some fair criticisms. But does that override again the type of player that he is for you and the impact that he had on, I mean, just the numbers of him on and off the field last year were ridiculous. You were making quarterbacks look like MVP Josh Allen when he was off the field. When he was on the field, you made him look like Daniel Jones, who lost his job.
Yes.
So like his impact speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of flaws in his game. Does he fade later in the season? Stuff like that. I think that's a little bit overstated. The sack numbers are certainly one of those things that drops for him as the season goes on, but the pressure numbers are still there. He's still just the ultimate disruptor. Now, if you're saying you don't want to reset the market for non-quarterbacks and give them all that bag and you don't know what type of, are things going to get even worse after that once he's made the money? I mean, if you're an organization and you know the player and you're projecting out a little bit, it's fair to maybe say, hey, I don't want to make him the highest paid player in football. I'd rather just turn that into a bunch of draft picks or something. Then that's fine.
Yeah.
But to complain.
That's how Nico and DeMont might troubleshoot this.
That's definitely how they would do it. But at least get everything out of him from an asset standpoint and don't just sell small on him. Don't trade for a guy at the same position who's much older and more injury prone or something stupid like that. But I understand if you want to turn him into a haul of draft picks because you don't want to pay him that level of money. But all the stuff that he does outside of Sundays, I think is much less of a problem than sometimes people make it out to be. Because ultimately, what are you doing on Sundays?
Yeah.
What are you doing on Sundays? And unless what you're doing the other 6 days in the week are so egregious and the team is consistently worse off because of it, then fine. But I don't think that's where we're at here.
It is so annoying. And the Cowboys have had to play a lot of football like this over the last couple of decades. Well, maybe not the Wade years and the Parcells years. But when you don't have a pass rusher and every time the other team snaps back, it's just like clean pocket, no worries, no need for extra protection. You can't finish games in the fourth quarter like that, you know? And maybe you'd want a different elite pass rusher in an ideal world, but that's not realistic. You have one of them. There's only at any one point four or five of these guys in the entire league. You should be focusing on how do we maximize what is left of Micah Parsons' absolute prime. And that's about 4 years. We can't let Micah Parsons' career end without ever putting a great defense around him that could totally smother the opposition. Because that's what this kind of player gets you. And you have two corners who are the absolute best in the NFL at going and getting the ball. One of them is the best in the NFL at taking it back to the house if you can get the ball in his hands. So make it happen. I don't know. Maybe that's why they're focused so much on defensive line that they spent this amount of resource and now they could even take another one at 12 because they're like, it's time to take advantage of what the Micah Parsons window is.
Yeah, and how much more fresh can you keep him if you had a stable of defensive linemen the same way the Eagles do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're worried about the way he fades later in the season, then you know you can certainly help your cause that way.
Yeah, I do think there's something to that. Maybe if he worked on his conditioning more, it wouldn't be as big of a problem. You know, maybe he's just not doesn't have the kind of body that can stand up. I mean, 18 weeks of violent football. You know how those guys talk about it being a series of car crashes every Sunday afternoon. Maybe it's just like testing the outer limits of what a body can naturally hold up to. And, you know, finding a way to load manage that in any way you can would probably be a wise decision. Okay. Teams took Micah out of the game. Irrelevant, says the 972. I don't know what games you're watching, bro. You know, there. There have been some games where he has disappeared at times, but, you know, that's going to happen in football. The star players don't always have the huge game.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to have a defense that is bottom of the league and stopping the run, then, yes, teams are going to be able to take him out of the game because of that, because they're just going to run all over you, and they don't have to drop back to pass.
Yeah.
So build something on the front seven that can force teams to have to pass the ball. And now you probably have the best pass rusher in the league.
Parsons is a loudmouth, says the 214. Please trade him in the draft and get a bunch of picks so we can rebuild this team the right way. He's not worth it. I think there could have been an opportunity for that. And that's one of the things that I would love to see the Cowboys consider doing in the future. I was thinking about this, Brian. Like, how could the Cowboys draft and develop strategy work out for them? And I think one of them is finding a point at which you wave the white flag and say, hey, we're not contenders here. Let's trade our good players and get a bunch of draft picks for the future, you know? But I don't think there's any sign that the Cowboys would actually entertain that.
You know what? It sounds like a really good strategy if you find a way to get back on that drafting train.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We got to look at teams. The best example of a team trading an impact edge rusher is the Las Vegas Raiders. And look what they got out of that.
Khalil Mack?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. You know, think about that. You know, I mean, that's the trades that have been made for players like that. And you look at just all the names and stuff that they, the picks that they wasted.
You got to get them right.
Yeah. And that, to me, that's the most important thing. If I'm all for moving players around and trading and doing what we have to do, but if I have no confidence in your ability to draft, why am I giving up a player that I already know that's one of the top five in the league?
You know, I guess it's just the theory of the Herschel Walker thing.
Just saying that to me, Dallas has got to draft better. You start talking about trading guys away and getting multiple picks and high picks. You gotta show me once again you can get back on that train and draft well again. Mm-hmm. Like what you had, 7 of the 8, you know, that ends up to be plug and plays and
start. All pros.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you also have to be a team that's willing to take maybe 2 steps back in order to, in a couple of years, take giant leaps forward, and they don't want to do that.
They don't want to do that.
But it could allow their draft and develop strategy to work.
Yeah.
If you took a couple of years and say, hey, we're picking top five in these years, and you know quarterbacks are coming or stud offensive linemen or edges, and you can also intentionally flush all the dead money from your bad salary cap choices in those years so they don't hurt you in the remaining 5 to 10 years, you know, there's a lot of advantages that could be had if the Cowboys were just a little bit more sharp and clever, I think, with how they manage the cap. The way that they build could work. But they just need to be able to, you know, ride the cycle a little bit more intentionally. Brandon Graham, the author of the most impactful play in Eagles franchise history, announced his retirement today after 15 seasons in the NFL. First round pick out of Michigan in 2010, entire career there with the Eagles. It's time now for Jared Sandler to join us, talk some Rangers baseball here on The Fan as spring training continues. His report's brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Go to advancedhair.com. And a good afternoon, Jared. How the heck are you? Oh, we do not have Jared yet. Jared Sandler will be joining us momentarily here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. And if you missed it, the news today, Patrick Corbin is now in the mix. Probably a sign that they didn't want to put Leiter and Rocker in this rotation. So you go get the lefty, Patrick Corbin, who's had a pretty decent career. But the way that Rocker has struggled, you know, in his 3 outings, dude is giving up more than a run per inning, Brian. a run per inning here with this Patrick Corbin guys or Kamar Rocker. So, unfortunately, I don't think you can have the confidence right now to put him in your opening day rotation.
Yeah, I think right now they're just trying to kind of plug some holes and see if they can go back and find a guy that had a little magic. You know, I mean, if you go back into the Nationals, like in 2019, I mean, he was a big played a key role in their World Series and stuff. So, you know, again, they're just trying to kind of find a way to plug some holes right now.
The world of sports came over to the world of politics once again today as President Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin were meeting over the phone for an extended period of time. And according to the Kremlin, they were actually amongst the discussions. They're looking to organize hockey games between the U.S. and Russia. How about that? Yeah, they discuss hockey matches in the USA and Russia between Russian and American players playing in the NHL and KHL, which is Russia's professional hockey league. As Sandler joins us now here on The Fan.
He's in the building!
Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Guys, I'm great. I saw that NHL-KHL thing. One of my big misses, you guys remember Josh Childress, former NBA player?
Yeah, Stanford.
So you remember when he signed a contract, was it with Olympiacos? So it was one of the clubs in Greece. And
yep.
I think he got paid more money there than he was getting from NBA teams. And I remember thinking, like, this is the beginning. And pretty soon, these international leagues are going to be competitive to the NBA in terms of finances. And it would have more of a soccer-type feel to it where, yeah, you might have a dominant league, but then you've got other leagues that are outstanding. And it would entice things like, you know, the equivalent to the Champions League or Europa or whatever, and basketball would really become an international game even to another level. And it hasn't worked out that way, but I still think that, like, that's the next frontier with sports. Instead of, like, expanding and having a random NBA team in Europe or something, that you're going to now have these various leagues competing with the NBA and having, you know, international tournaments. I think that would be really cool. And then that's a way to, you know, kind of cultivate some of that, national pride that we saw during the Four Nations tournament.
That would be a lot of fun.
Anyway.
I like that idea, Sans. I also like the idea of the Rangers adding a veteran starter. Did they get one that could help here today in Patrick Corbin?
Well, I hope so. You look at his numbers the last few years, the they're just not that good. But he stays healthy, knock on wood, and he eats a lot of innings. Over his last 7 years, let's not count 2020, but over his last 7 years, he's averaging around 170 innings a year. And if, you know, one of the things Chris Young said, and one of the themes, that we've heard from members of the staff is that, you know, this is going to be a lineup that's going to be able to score a whole lot of runs. And you don't necessarily need to have, five aces in your rotation. And I think their thought and their hope with Patrick Corbin is, hey, you take the ball every 5 days, give us some innings, help us protect our bullpen, and then we'll figure it out offensively. Now, they also feel like that they're is an opportunity for him to grow and maybe get back to some of his pre-Nationals or early Nationals form. They talked about pitch usage changes that he made in the second half last season. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not like we talked about this yesterday, I think. It's not like they had an endless supply of money to play with. And whatever the money is in this deal, they found someone who, you know, typically has been able to take the ball about 30 times a year. And I think right now, for where they're at, that's good enough for them.
Looks like we got some pretty good news on John Gray, huh?
Yeah, I think the surgery thing would have knocked him out for the year. From everyone that I talked to, that was the thought that if he was going to have surgery, he'd be done for the year, pretty close to it. And thankfully, that's not the case. So no surgery, and then he also, isn't going to as best as we know now, be out for nearly as long as what the timeline, that they maybe initially thought. Chris Young said that. They had concerns he'd be gone until around the trade deadline. But the hope now is that he'll be ready to come back in June. Now, you know, one thing that we just don't know because there's not a track record with this sort of thing is pitchers who have injuries to their pitching wrists. How, what that's going to be like when they come back. But I guess at least, you know, at minimum, we'll get an opportunity to have a better understanding of that, because it seems like John will be back hopefully in June.
Rangers Guardians tonight. What are you hoping to see for? What are the storylines?
Well, you know, we're kind of at the point in spring where guys are, you know, you're going to see a lot more of the regulars, not only just in general starting, but playing more. Tyler Malley's going to take the ball for the Rangers. So, you know, I'd be curious to see what the velocity is like for Tyler, not only off the jump, but as, you know, if he gets into the fifth inning and as his pitch count gets up, how much is he able to sustain his velocity? And then just from a lineup standpoint, this isn't really something to look for other than, you know, just something to notice when you look at it. This is a lineup that could very well be the opening day lineup or their primary lineup against a righty. Maybe it looks a little differently on opening day against the lefty Garrett Crochet, but this very well, the nine that they have out tonight in the order in which they have them could very well be their starting lineup when a right-handed starting pitcher is on the mound. And, you know, when Jake Berger is batting eighth for you, that kind of underscores the depth that they have in this lineup, not only just from a general ability standpoint, but when your eight-hole hitter is a guy who could easily have a 30 home run season, that kind of tells you all you need to know about the potential of this lineup. Now, last year, we talked about the lineup as one that had great potential, and it didn't deliver. So they got to get it done once, you know, once the lights are on. But this is a lineup that has a pretty unique feel to it and what they'll be able to achieve.
Jared Sandler brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Go to advancedhair.com. Sands, have a great night. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right, fellas. Talk later.
At Jared Sandler on Twitter. It's time to go into the Pimp Cup. Yeah. Lucius has LA Live.
You guys been keeping up with Jackie and Shadow out there at, what is that, Big Bear Valley?
What's going on there?
It's the Buds, the Eagles.
Oh, wait, I have been watching. Yes, I've been watching a lot.
She's feeding them right now, man.
It's crazy to watch her rip that fish out and give it to him.
Yeah.
And she's, it looks like she's picking out the organs for herself. I'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take that. This. You can have this little piece of meat.
Yeah. She knows what she's doing in there.
Yeah, man. She did not have any birds last season. And now she's had, well, she had three this season hatch. And then one died like last week.
Mm.
And that was one like eating a whole bunch of food. So maybe
is this live right here?
Yeah, this is very live.
That's amazing.
It's the big drama in my house.
I love this. I can't keep my eyes off it the last couple of days. The view from the other side of the nest where you're going out into the lake area and the mountains. It's unreal.
Yeah, they got a penthouse. And the thing is like 6 foot long.
The nest is?
The nest, bro. It is huge. Look at all the fish and the dead birds in it and everything they've been catching.
Yeah, dude. Crazy they got all stuff. Kinds of stuff up there.
All right, let's get into a Toxic Tuesday edition of LA Live right after the great Rick James. That's not the right button.
All right, you squares. It's time you smoke.
Fire up this phone.
It'll make you dance to some of everything. Everybody get high.
Are you guys bummed about Luka? I feel bad for the Mavericks. Because, like, yeah, their season is, like, pretty much toast now, right? Like, and they still have to play all these games. Like, I wish they could just, like, sit it out, you know? Like, stop the season. But they're in Texas, so you gotta carry to full term.
Toxic. Toxic-ass joke right there. Wow. This is LA Live for Tuesday, March 18th, 2025. It is a Toxic Tuesday here in LA Live, and it will be toxic. I have a few broadcasters crashing out. I hope to get that audio to you. LA Live is sponsored by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That is greystone-roofing.com. And G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up. At Lucky Lucius P on social media. That is L-U-C-I-O-U-S. You can find me at Lucius Alexander on Facebook. Or you can follow us all, find G-Bag Nation on Twitter, and send all your hate mail there, all right? A winner right here. It's a Michigan State, a Michigan high school basketball player, Keyshawn Somerville. Now, he's having his way up there at Michigan, by the way. He's going to be a legend, just like my man Garside. he's a point guard, and he hit a half-court buzzer beater to win regionals for his team. This man is like passing to Will up there on his squad right now. And there was a lady in the audience. I don't know if how she's, she might be related to him. She might be a student. She might be a friend. She just might be a fan. Who knows? But she wheeled this half point, I mean, this half court shot into the goal, bro.
I don't know what y'all happy for. It ain't over. Keyshawn can make it. I know he can. Come on, Key. Yeah!
That sounds like an ant.
It's manifested right there, bro. Yeah.
Believing in Keyshawn. That's an all-time call right there.
Yeah.
Key can do this. What's Key going to do? He's going to make a half-court shot. You're going to call this right here, lady?
She said it ain't over. It ain't over.
Key's a legend.
Yeah, he's a legend.
5'10", 140 pounds. Keyshawn Somerville.
Throw it in. Garside.
It's my man.
Big man on campus.
He averages 8 points a game, that guy. Garside.
Garside.
All in the final 30 seconds.
Yeah. He's money in that final 30.
Keyshawn's right. Just a bucket from watching these videos, but he's a regular size guy.
Yeah, he's having his way.
It's like you dream growing up, I'm going to step out here and just school people in the Like Mike movie, but he's doing it.
It's all about them handles.
Yeah.
The more you can handle that ball, it's all about them handles.
Yep.
Put that ball on the string.
Create the space for yourself.
Yep. All right, let's see. Dallas Mavs fan right here went to Irving City Hall to express his frustrations with the Mavs, the new owners, and the fact that they're trying to allow gambling into the state of Texas. Oh, no. He had a lot on his plate right here. He has a conspiracy, too.
As representatives of this city, your job is to look after the best interest of your citizens. All the city cares about is economic impact. Money. What about the moral impact? Did you guys consider that? What about when people become degenerate gamblers? When people go broke? When crime and drugs are infested in our city? When people develop mental illnesses because they're addicted to gambling? When you introduce gambling to our city, these are things that will be happening. The billionaires won't care because the money will be flowing into their pockets. So the question is the Adelson family lobbying with the council members of Irving? Did they promise to fund any of the city council members' campaigns? What's funny is that they're actually advocating for the citizens of Texas to be involved in the bill with the state of Texas to legalize gambling. But they want to rush this city council vote without the citizens of Irving even getting a chance to do any research. They don't want to move to Vegas. They want to bring Vegas here. The Adelson family has robbed us of a sports legend, and now they want to rob our city of our dignity. Let's make the right decision and send the Las Vegas Sands all the way back to the desert. He's supposed to have a statue.
I like his style. I really do. A good showmanship, good passion. But we want freedom of choice.
Yes.
I know people might get hurt by all sorts of decisions they might make. But if it's not hurting anybody else, can I please be free?
Yeah, I see that. And y'all live in Irving. And before they start putting a dart rail in there, they had the same type of reaction.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want it because it's going to bring riffraff and all this other stuff into our area, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. There's riffraff everywhere already.
They were kind of right.
Yes. It happens. That happens in every city where mass transit goes.
Yeah.
You know, along the bus line, along that light rail line, wherever it is. I mean, obviously, people that can't afford cars need mass transportation, so it makes sense to live close to it. It's a thing right there, but we can gamble all we want. You know, you have the internet.
You have the Texas lottery.
There's lottery. There's all sorts of ways to gamble. I mean, all the elements that he listed are already prevalent in every municipality in the world, you know? Yeah, and legislating to try to eliminate that is just creating less and less freedom.
I'm with you.
Either we want freedom or we don't, Lucius.
I'm with you, bro. And I hope they make their casino situation over there where the Texas Stadium used to be, because I don't live too far from there, and I'm trying to flip this condo.
That's
you
right.
You dig what I'm saying, player?
Yeah.
Well, you're right down the street from the Mavs and a casino. It's a happening little spot.
I'm imagining like a resort with a wave pool.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be sick.
Yeah. They'll do it right.
I hope they make it happen. One of the goats of sports broadcasting out of New York. What do you think I'm talking about here?
Mad Doggy.
Okay, you're close. You're really close.
Oh, Francesa.
There we go. Yeah. Mike Francesa. He was on his Bet Rivers podcast. Francesa's producers were in his ear like we do in the business sometimes, talking to the host. gave the host wrong information regarding the St. John's and the Big East Championship. And you can't give Mike Francesa the wrong information. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah, you can't do that. Anyway, Mike goes back and forth with his producer, even though you can't hear his producer on the mic or anything. So it's just Mike talking to himself. He ends up getting in these boys' butts. Big pause.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see what we're doing here.
Yeah, you can't be making him look bad. Now all of a sudden he's going to lash out.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if he makes a mistake on top of that, then it's over.
And he did not know that he was live.
Yes. Even better.
Yeah, he thought he put up a little pause up there. Let's stop recording.
I thought it was recorded.
Yeah, let me dig into your butt real quick, and then we can press play again. On
Wait, we're live?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Who was that? Who was talking to me? Now, who said that the Big East has been won already? Yeah, but who said it?
Yeah, who?
Okay, one of you guys just said that St. John's has won the Big East tournament. They have not won the title yet. You win the title tomorrow night. The championship trophy goes with tomorrow night's winner. It does not go with the regular season champion. It can't, because if it did, why the hell would you have a tournament? If St. John's had already won the title, what are these 4 days for? That's how it works. So whoever said that doesn't know what they're talking about.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right. Just now, let's go back and start this over again. And I don't want to hear you guys in my headset, okay?
Oh, okay.
So whoever's bleeding through, knock it off. What?
We can hear you.
We broke off the air, didn't we?
Nope.
We're live?
Yeah, well, we're live right now, man.
This was all on the air? I just yelled at you guys?
The whole time.
Yep.
You got to be kidding me.
Nope.
You guys have got to be kidding me.
Nope.
All right. I apologize for that outburst, okay, folks?
Thank you.
All right, I didn't realize we were live. I thought we were taping this.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my mistake. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
You're supposed to be a pro.
I thought it was kind of a soft reaming.
It was. He didn't go crazy.
Yeah.
Could have been a lot worse.
No apologies.
He said you were dumb. You're an idiot, basically, but he didn't, you know.
He had done a Berman or that guy, do it live guy. What was her?
Oh, that's my guy. O'Reilly?
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly. Yeah. Yeah. What does this mean to play us out? What does that mean? What does that mean, bro? let's see. Tiki Barber, Sneaky Tiki. Another broadcaster crashing out. He was on WFAN up there in New York. As of late, Tiki has been bombing on the New York Giants fans because they want to tank and get a good draft pick.
Yeah.
And he's been bombing. So with that energy in the air, a man calls into the fan to call Tiki out about something he said about Eli Manning's leadership a long time ago. You guys know a quote about Tiki saying something about Eli's leadership?
I haven't heard about this. It's juicy.
Okay, well, you do your Googles while you listen to this clip real quick.
Tiki, aren't you the one that said once upon a time when Eli was trying to be a leader, it was laughable?
Have you watched Eli Manning post-career?
No, answer my question, not the one you want me to answer.
Answer my question, John, you jackass. It's my show. Hold on 1 second, John. Tiki, let me ask you a better question.
Let me ask you a better question.
A more relevant question.
You won't answer it, Tiki.
Did you hear me say that?
Yes.
You heard me say it. When did I say it?
Oh, you didn't say it? Is it laughable?
Did you hear me say it?
Laughable. Laughable. And all you keep doing is doing the same thing you've always done.
John, you're a jackass, dude.
Always done.
John, don't call anymore. By the way, John's a jackass
because he's
taking something that he didn't hear. He heard it secondhand in some article by some beat reporter and twisted it into his own narrative. I hate people like you, John, because you don't know what you're talking about and you call up just to get your point in. You might not like me for whatever reason. It might be because I'm black. It might be because I'm smart. Whoa. It might be because I'm a giant instead of a jet or whatever the heck it is. You have a clear bias against me, and I hate you, the fact that you called and try to get me on something that you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my goodness. That is a crash out and a half.
Three jackasses and I hate you.
It's going down, bro.
During a preseason broadcast in 07, Barber described Manning's leadership attempts as almost comical. Referencing a specific instance during the 12th week of the previous season where Manning led an offensive meeting. Yeah, he revisited it in 2019, the Howard Stern show, and tried to call it unbelievably out of context then and expressed regret over the comment.
Didn't want to stand on it, though.
Nope. I don't know if, as a program director, I want to keep Tiki Barber or fire him after that. I mean, I couldn't tune away from it, but it looks, it sounded weak.
Yeah.
Sounded weak.
John, you jackass.
Yeah. Yeah. Felt like John told the truth about him in Times Square, and he was embarrassed.
On it. And stood on it.
I hate you, John.
John stood on it.
I hope you don't listen anymore.
Yeah. And allow me to leave with this right here, some broadcasting blunders. Florida Gulf Coast University versus Georgia had a technical issue during the baseball game. Sound like robots were broadcasting.
Wow.
Back towards the wall.
You heard that.
By the track.
The ball is on the left field. This game is going to be tied. Yeah.
Tie game.
Oh, yeah.
It's still going. Went for a while, man.
You're sweating out a bet listening to this game going, what the hell?
That's like the scientist in a wheelchair, right?
Yeah.
Hilarious. Sweating out a bet. And last one right here is a broadcasting blunder. A softball home plate umpire. He was doing his job at a softball game. Took one of those big old balls to the nads.
Oh, no.
In front of all of the families and in front of the girls out there playing. And it must have hurt.
It's so good.
Listen to this.
I just called somebody.
Trainer.
I just called somebody. That's so embarrassing, dog.
We got ruptured cantaloupes here.
Never umping back there again, dog.
Just called the nutsack doctor. He's going to be on his way right now. He's going to be all right. He'll be all right.
Incidentally, that is how I felt when you guys maybe put that icy hot down there.
Yeah, no, that hurts.
3 months ago.
Full Roger Clemens, man.
That was terrifying.
Broadcasted your balls off that day.
Almost literally. Almost burned them off. Well, thank you, Lucius.
One more time right here. This lady right here.
I just called somebody.
Who are you calling about a man's balls?
No, I got a guy for this. Trust me, you're going to be fine.
All right. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. That's my time. My name is Lucius Alexander. I holler. Peace.
Unless you called God himself, the person cannot help.
Man, we got a guy down here, balls hurt real bad. Could you bring some help, please?
I think I'm the only guy that actually needs fentanyl in the entire world right now. I'll take two, please.
Call the ice company.
You writhing. That's, oh, my gosh.
Proper round tripper coming up, Chief.
All for what is that, a softball game? Just umping?
Yeah, a girl softball game, bro. Whole family's up there.
Damn ball wasn't soft. What are they talking about? Hey, we have what Chris Young has said about the Rangers' new lefty. You'll want to hear this. We also hear from Jack Leiter and, of course, some rookie hazing in Beantown next in the nation.